Well, thank you so much. Our summer choir is always wonderful. Thank you, praise team, for leading us this morning, and thank you for all of you being here. We're here this morning to do two or three things. We're here to celebrate Vacation Bible School. We're here to worship God and lift up the theme of Vacation Bible School, which was miraculous mission. And we're also here to recall and meditate on one of the key Bible verses of the week, and that verse was John 3:16. And many of you probably know John 3:16, but let me just say, if you don't know John 3:16 now, it's my prayer, it's my hope that by the end of the service today, you will know John 3:16. Okay, but before we jump into that and our time together with that, I want to ask you some questions. And so the first question I want to ask you, and I kind of want to hear from you on this, is do you have a favorite restaurant? Does anyone here have a favorite restaurant? Raise your hand if you do. Okay, Larry Peterson has a favorite restaurant. I want to hear. What is his favorite?
CNS Coastal Shack.
I've never heard of it, but it sounds fabulous. Does anybody else have a favorite restaurant out there? Oh, yes, sir. And give us that English accent, please.
Duke's Bar and Grill.
All right. Anyone else have a favorite restaurant? Anybody at all? You guys, you got to get out there. Okay, let's shift gears here for a minute. Okay, what about television show? Does anybody here have a television show that they absolutely love, that they cannot miss? Not one time. Come on now. Anybody raise your hand if you have? Oh, excellent. This row back here is this area is very popular. Very popular. Okay, Kinsey.
Supernatural.
All right, I've never seen that one either. Did any of y'all have a favorite TV show? Surely you do. All right, yes, what is it?
The Great British Baking Show.
Oh, nice. The Great British Baking Show. I want to know if John Wolfe, wouldn't you like to know if John Wolfe has a favorite TV show? So let's give it up here for John Wolfe. Oh, they're not giving it up. Let's give it up for John Wolfe. We got to get it out of him. All right. Favorite TV show?
You have to understand, but this is Walker, Texas Ranger.
All right. Okay, let's just shift gears one more time. Who here has a favorite college football team? Does anybody here have a favorite college football team? All right, do we have any dog fans in the house? I want to know. We got a dog fan in the house right over here. All right, I got to mention it because they are here. The Auburn people. Where are the Auburn people? Oh my gosh, we got a whole row of them. It's incredible. All right, what about Alabama Crimson Tide? Anybody here for that? Oh, yes. I know, boo. And I've got to mention it. You know I've got to mention it. Do we have any other Iowa Hawkeye fans in the house? Yes. And now here is the big question. Who is going to win the college football championship next year? Who's going to do it? Is it going to be the Dogs? Is it going to be Auburn?
Yeah.
Going to be the Alabama Crimson Tide? It's going to be the Iowa Hawkeyes. I'm wondering, and I've got to mention this because they did win it this year, those Clemson Tigers. Do we have any Clemson Tiger fans in the house? Ew, oh my goodness. I didn't know they were here. I had no idea that. What's the coach's name? Dabo Sweeney? That's just a weird name. But he's paid the most. So you got to be wondering right now, why am I asking you all these questions about, you know, your favorite restaurant and your favorite football team and what was the other one? Your favorite TV show? Well, I'm asking you those questions because at the end of the day in life, there's always someone who sets the standard, who sets the expectation for everyone else, right? There's someone or there's something or there's some team that sort of establishes the standard, and they are top in their field. And right now, Dabo Sweeney, he just got this big contract. He is top in his field. Clemson Tigers, top in their field. And today, we're going to meet somebody who was the top in their field, that he was the standard setter for all the other people in his field and in his profession. And if you don't know who I'm talking about the man named Nicodemus. And so here's where we meet Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "Now there was a Pharisee." Now stop right there. How many of y'all know what a Pharisee is? A Pharisee was a religious leader, and they were the leaders of the leaders. And so they kind of set the standard for all the people and all the pastors. And so Nicodemus was a Pharisee. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And listen to this. He came to Jesus at night. And here's what you need to know. In the Gospel of John, when you have light and darkness, you have night and day. It's not only a testimony to the reality of the moment that it was night when he came to Jesus. It's also kind of a metaphor for life. There was a sense in which, you know, Nicodemus, even though he was this top leader, he was kind of in the dark, you might say, about Jesus. And so this top leader comes to Jesus in the middle of the night, and he asks some very, very interesting questions of Jesus. He says, Rabbi, he says, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do miracles, the miracles that you do, if God were not with him. And so Jesus hears this, and it kind of sounds a little suspicious. I mean, it kind of sounds like Nicodemus is trying to sort of what I would call butter Jesus up. Do you follow what I'm talking about there? He's kind of maybe blowing a little smoke. You know, he's like, oh, Jesus, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Jesus. Right? And when you hear that, you're just a little, you know, tricked out about that. You're not sure about that. And so Jesus is tuned into this. Like, he knows who Nicodemus is. And so Jesus delivers this leveling kind of statement to the top guy in his field. Jesus says this. He says, very truly, I tell you, Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And with that statement, Jesus sets off this firestorm of controversy across history, across time, and everybody's going, what on earth is Jesus talking about when he says you must be born again? And even Nicodemus is like, you know, how can I be born when I'm old? Surely I cannot enter into my mother's womb for a second time. And when Jesus hears Nicodemus, this top dude, this top teacher, he studied the Bible for 100 years, Jesus, I think, rolls his eyes and he says, oh my goodness, you're Israel's teacher and you don't understand these things. You think when I say born again that I'm talking about a physical rebirth? He says, I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth, Nicodemus. And here's the hard thing that is going to be for you to hear. It's going to be hard for you to hear. Nicodemus, I'm talking about you at the top of your field. You're the zenith guy. You're the MVP. You're the best one. You're going to have to start all over. Nicodemus, you're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to begin anew. And this is just hard for us to hear. Because, you know, Nicodemus, he is Israel's top rabbi. He is the lead teacher. He is the dean of the college. He is the top player. He is the MVP. And Nicodemus, if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to experience God in all of God's fullness, you're going to have to start over. You're going to have to go back to square one. You're going to have to let go of the PhD. You're going to have to let go of the master's degree. You're going to have to let go of the high school education. You're going to have to go back to the crib where you started and be born again. And Nicodemus is just like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, how can that be? How can that even be a possibility? And let me just say that this is not only hard for Nicodemus. This is hard for all of us. This is a difficult statement in many ways for all of us. And let me just tell you that my Laurie is in the antique business. And so she goes to, you know, Great Britain and she goes to France and she buys. And from time to time, I will find myself helping her pack for a show. And so like about a month ago, we were packing for a show. And I mean, it's hard work. You're trying to put all this stuff in this trailer and make it work and get along with your spouse while you're doing it. Let me tell you, it's a challenge. It is a challenge. And we got almost everything in there and just like something flew all over her. And she's like, oh my gosh. Oh, I've forgotten one of the most important things I wanted to take with me. And we've got to fit it in. And I'm like looking at it going, are you telling me that we're going to have to unpack all of the trailer and then repack the trailer? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, no, no. You know, and I'm like, this is how Nicodemus must have felt. I mean, he's the top guy. And Jesus is like, sorry, dude, you're going to have to start all over again. You're going to have to begin anew, you know, and it's in this moment that Jesus delivers what is the top Bible verse of all time. It's in this moment with Nicodemus standing there in the dark, not sure what's happening to him, that Jesus delivers what we know as John 3:16, right? And so Jesus says to Nicodemus, I know it's hard to start over. I know you don't understand what I mean when I say that you must be reborn. But let me tell you how this can happen. And he delivers these incredible words. Let's read those together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Jesus said. He said, for God so loved the world. And what he was saying was that God loves every single human being, from the tallest to the smallest, from the lowest to the highest, from the most religious to the most non-religious persons. Jesus is God's expression of his love for the entire planet. I love what Robert Schuller once said. He said, there is no problem too big for God's power. There is no person too small for God's love. God loves each and every person. And when you start studying the Bible, you'll discover that there's four different kinds of love that we experience in our lives. We experience the love of philia, which is like friendship love, like the love that you share with your friends. We experience storge love, which is the love that we know in a family. We have this family that came together today around these baptisms, and they love one another with that storge love. We have eros, which is the romantic love that we experience and enjoy. Then we also have, and surely you know this, the agape love of God, that for God so loved the world. It was with this agape, unconditional, no strings attached kind of love that God has for every single person in this room today. And you know, I like to think about it this way. I compare this to when I get a coupon. And don't you get coupons all the time? Like, I get coupons from Banana Republic, like in my email, like every 10 minutes, right? You get all these coupons, and you walk into a store, and you've got your 50% off coupon in hand, and you're going to go shopping for something that you've been wanting for a long, long time, and you walk inside the store, and you go in there, and you look around for it, and you're like, I've got this 50% off coupon. It says everything, 50% off. I'm going to buy a few other things. And so you go wandering through the store, and pretty soon you've got all this stuff, and you take it up to the register, and they start ringing you up, and you're just smiling. You're feeling so good inside. Bingo! 50% off. And so then at the end of them ring up, you lay it down on the counter like a golden crown in front of them and say, I'm getting 50% off. And she picks up the coupon and she turns it over, right? And she goes, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Everything that you've chosen is excluded from the sale. And what you see on the back of that coupon is what? It's called fine print. And it's like it duped you. And what I want you to know is that when it comes to the love of God, there is no fine print. There are no exclusions. For God so loved the world that what? He gave us his one and only, say it with me, Son. He did. He gave us his one and only son. He gave us his most precious commodity. He gave us the most important thing to him in the world. He gave us his one and only son. And it's kind of like, why would he do that? I mean, there's some weirdness to that. Like, is that good dad behavior? You know, why did he do that? You know, when Hunter was growing up in our house, he started collecting coins. And he loved to just look at his coin collection and collect these coins. And one, I think it was a Christmas or birthday, I decided to give Hunter my coin collection. Because I also, as a kid, grew up collecting coins, and it was kind of a substantial collection. I mean, it was worth a little bit, and Lori's like, you want to give that to Hunter? I'm like, absolutely, I want to give that to Hunter, and he's so little, right? He's so young, but yeah, I want to give it to Hunter. Why did I want to give that coin collection to Hunter? I wanted to give it to him because I wanted him to know how much I love him. I wanted him to know how important he was and how we adored him and loved him. Why did he loves you? Wow. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that, say it with me, whosoever, come on, that whosoever, we're going to stop right there. That's a big old word right there. Whosoever may include some people you don't like. Whosoever may include, you know, like, let's put it this way. You have your top 10, right? You have your top 10 favorite things. And then do you have your not top 10? Do you have your top 10 favorite people? And then do you have your not top 10 favorite people, right? But what Jesus is saying here is that whosoever, everybody's included in that. There's no single person ever excluded from that. I remember when I was at Jodico Road United Methodist Church, there was a boy there called Austin Martinez, and he was just this wild boy. But I loved him, and he was like a part of my camp. He was a great kid. But he also was just kind of wild. And one day it was around, I think after Christmas, it was like after the new year, he'd gotten a game for Christmas. Like, he brought it over to me to show it to me at church. And I was looking at the game and I'm thinking, oh man, this is like a really violent looking game. Like, this is all this kid needs is like another violent game in his life, right? And he must have picked that up because he looked at me and he said, Pastor, he said, this is rated E. And E stands for everybody. Whoa. Like the gospel was being preached right there by Austin Martinez. E stands for everybody. He said, whosoever. Whosoever. Okay, let's go on. Believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Wow. Nicodemus, you can be made new. You can be born again by the love of God that gives us everlasting life. Now, there's two ways that I think about everlasting life. On one hand, it's the life that we are promised after death, right? It's heaven. So when my grandmother died, I didn't worry. I mean, I was upset. It was normal to grieve. But I also knew within my heart of hearts that she was experiencing the everlasting life of heaven, that she was safe in the arms of God, that she was there until the day that I show up, and I'm sure she's going to be standing at the pearly gates to greet me. So she's experiencing that part of everlasting life. But Jesus was talking about so much more than that.
He was talking about a quality of life that we can all experience here on planet Earth right now. Today, it begins when we say yes to God's grace in our life. And suddenly we have the joy of a baptism. We sing the songs of praise and something happens in us. The Holy Spirit is moving at Vacation Bible School and a child lights up and sings a song and does a dance for the first time and the parents are like, he's not like that. But he is. When the Holy Spirit experience and know right now. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have this everlasting quality of life. And so Jesus delivers the top verse to the top guy in all of Israel. And the question then becomes, how does he respond? How does the, MVP, the top teacher, the ultimate Iowa Hawkeye, how does he respond to this mammoth moment that Jesus is laying down for him, saying, here's how you can be born again? How does he respond? It's so disappointing, with complete silence. I mean, nothing happens in John chapter 3 that we know about from Nicodemus. It is with utter silence that he disappointing. And most preachers, by the way, in the story, in the sermon right now, right? Because he didn't respond. It's over. He's standing there. He goes back to the people he's with, right? Do we know? That's not true. If you read on in the Gospel of John, you'll see that we encounter Nicodemus two more times. And we see him in John chapter 7, but I would just say that, has any change happened by John chapter 7? I think it's kind of inconclusive. I'm not sure. We can't tell really by his response. But then we get to John chapter 19. And I want you to see John chapter 19. So here we go. Later, this is John chapter 19. This is after Jesus has been crucified. Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. And here it is. Look at this. He was accompanied by who? He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier visited Jesus at night. Can we see the next? Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. And here's what I want you to see. Taking the body of Jesus. Wow. Another version says, carrying the body of Jesus. This is Nicodemus. I think this is a sign of change. I think something has happened in the life and heart of Nicodemus taking the body of Jesus. I just love that image, carrying the body of Jesus. That's what we are called to do. We are image bearers for the Georgia Bulldogs and the Auburn Tigers and the Iowa Hawkeyes. We are image bearers for Coca-Cola, and for our favorite restaurant. Friends, we are called to be image bearers for Jesus Christ. And when we are image bearers for Jesus Christ, incredible things happen. It's you get a brand new start. It's like you get to begin anew. It's like you are born again. And I think that's what happened to Nicodemus. I think he was born again. Two things happened there. On one hand, Nicodemus believed in Jesus in a new way. I don't know what he was thinking that night that he came to Jesus and began to talk with him. I don't know what he thought about Jesus, but at some point there was a change and he began to believe in Jesus. And secondly, you know, it's not only knowledge that translates. It's not only our response, what we think about who Jesus was. He not only believed in Jesus, but he did what? He received Jesus into his life, into his heart. Can anybody guess what is my favorite restaurant? Anybody take a stab at it? I'm a big pizza guy. What is it? Antico's Pizza. We have a winner in the audience today. Thank you very much. Antico's Pizza, or Antico's. I'm not even sure how you're supposed to pronounce it. It's just amazing pizza. And I love the San Gennaro. Anybody out there ever been to Antico's and had the San Gennaro? It is spectacular. It is like you're in Italy when you start to eat the San Gennaro. And it's amazing. But here's the deal. I could describe the San Gennaro to you in extreme detail. I could tell you exactly how it's made. I could give you the recipe. I could go to talk to Mr. Antico's and force him to give me the recipe, to give you the recipe. I could describe what it looks like. I could have a picture of the San Gennaro on the screen today. But what is the only way that you would ever be to fully experience the life of the San Gennaro is what if you eat it? You've got to not only believe in Jesus, but you've got to receive Jesus. And the kids are getting lined up across the way. Oh, here comes Danielle. This is what we want. Uh-oh, they didn't come behind her. The door shut. They're like, what do we do? I'm inviting you to eat a San Gennaro. I'm really working on you today. But that's what Nicodemus did. He believed in Jesus, and he received him. And when you receive him, God's grace is at work in our hearts such that life is made new. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Thank you for someone like Nicodemus who came to see you at night because he was in the dark. Sometimes, Lord, we're in the dark. We pray, God, that you would give us your light, that we could take up the body of Jesus and be an image bearer to our world for Jesus Christ. It's in the name of Jesus we do pray, and all of God's people say together,